What are we doing with Gary? And welcome everybody out. I invite you to get your Bibles and follow along as we study the Word of the Lord together, and hope that our study will be of a profit and benefit as we open the Word of the Lord. If you open your Bibles to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 16, 1 Corinthians chapter 16, we're going to look at verses 13 and 14, and then we'll drop down to verse 22 here as Paul gives five exhortations and then a warning down in verse 22. Paul says, "Watch ye, stand fast in the faith. Quit ye like men." He says, "Be strong. Let all your things be done with charity." And then verse 22, he says, "If any man love not the Lord Jesus Christ, let him be anathema, Maranatha." And so that's our study this morning, and you'll see where we go as we look from point to point. Alright, these five exhortations. First one is, he says, "Watch ye." And the New American Standard says, "Be on the alert." In Strong's dictionary, he says, "Give strict attention to, be cautious, active, to keep awake, be vigilant." It is the definitions of this word when he says, "Watch ye." To be on the alert, be attentive, that we're looking and watching. Well, what should we be watching for? Well, we need to be watching out for the devil. Peter exhorts us in 1 Peter chapter 5 there, and in verse 8, he says, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil as a roaring lion walketh about seeking whom he may devour." If you had one of these circuses that had lions or tigers that, you know, travel through the countryside, and there was an accident and one of the tigers got loose in the community, in the wreck, well, they'd be announcing on the radio, and they'd have people out looking and everybody getting their guns out or something, you know, to be on the watch. You wouldn't want to send your kids out in the yard not knowing where that tiger, not knowing where the lion's at, running around loose. Well, the devil is like a roaring lion. And Peter says, "You be vigilant and you be sober and watchful." And that's what we need. One thing we need to be watching for. We need to be watching for his devices. In 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 11, Paul says, "Lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices." That is, his schemes, his wiles, his tricks. We need to be watchful of that. And we need to be watchful of the devil's ministers. In chapter 11 of 2 Corinthians, there in verses 13 through 15, Paul says, "For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore it is no great thing if his ministers, which shall also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works." And so we need to be watchful of his devices, his tricks, his schemes, his wiles, and be watchful of his ministers, the false prophets, the false teachers that are out there, that are bent on leading us astray. They will appear as ministers of righteousness, but they are not. So we need to be watchful. Watch ye, Paul exhorts us. Be watchful of the devil. Pastor suggests we need to be watchful of the enemies of the church. In the book of Galatians, chapter 2, and in verse 4, Paul says, "And that because of false brethren unaware brought in, who came in proudly to spout our liberty which we have in Christ Jesus, that they might bring us into bondage." There are enemies of the church, both without and within. And we need to be watchful of the enemies of the truth of Jesus Christ. To be on guard, to be alert. But they're there to mislead and misdirect. We need to be watchful within ourselves to keep check on attitudes and dispositions. In the book of 2 Corinthians, chapter 13, verse 5, Paul says, "Examine yourselves, whether you be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves, how that Jesus Christ is in you, except you be reprobate." And so he says, you be watchful by examining yourselves. That is, to watch our attitudes, our disposition, our frame of mind. Attitude is so fundamentally important. And we know better than anybody what our attitude is, and to be on guard, watching our attitude. Be alert. others lead down the wrong path. And it becomes a downward spiral when we have bad attitudes. Paul says, watch ye. We need to be watching for opportunity. There in the book of 1 Corinthians 16, Paul talked about some of his opportunities. He said, but I will tarry at Ephesus until Pentecost, for a great door and effectual is open unto me, and there are many adversaries. Paul said that was literally a mega door was open. We need to be watching for opportunities to serve, to be alert, to say, hey, there's an opportunity to do good. There's an opportunity to serve. In 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 12, Paul says, furthermore, when I came to Troas to preach Christ's gospel, and a door was opened unto me of the Lord. And so we need to be looking for those doors of opportunity, a door of service, that we can say, yes, there's something I can do. There's a way I can serve. There's a way I can help. And to look for those opportunities as the Lord opens doors of opportunity for us. Paul says, watch ye. Something else we need to be watching for, and that is the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. In the book of John, chapter 14, and in verse 3. In John chapter 14, and down there in verse 3, Jesus says, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again. And he is coming again, don't know when. And receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And then in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, which contextually, then the chapter 4 talks about the return of Christ. Then he moves on into chapter 5 to talk about the return of Christ. And down there in verse 6 he says, therefore let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. That is, watching for the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. He could come today. That's possible. Could be tomorrow morning at 7:15 in the morning. Don't know. Possible. We don't know when he's coming, but we need to be looking and watching for his coming. And the way we watch for his coming is by constantly being ready for his coming. Be watchful, knowing that someday he will come. So Paul gives the exhortation. He says, watch ye. And then he says, stand fast in the faith. This word is defined to be stationary. That is, figuratively, to persevere, to stand, or to stand fast. He says to stand fast, stationary. Don't be moved. Don't be carried about. You stand fast in the faith. Not to stand fast in error. Not to stand fast with stubborn attitude. Not to stand fast in sin. But to stand fast in the faith. In the book of Colossians, chapter 1, there, in verse 23. Paul says, if you continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel which you have heard, and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister. Grounded and settled in the faith of the gospel. Stay there. Stand fast. Stationary. Don't be moved. Don't be moved away. We have some who have been moved away. I mean, you just think back of people that had obeyed the gospel. And where they are, where are they now? Well, they've quit. They've quit the Lord. And they've quit God. They're no longer in the faith. No longer serving God. They do not remain steadfast in the Lord. In the book of Ephesians, chapter 4, and verses 13 and 14, Paul says that we all come in the unity of the faith, and of the knowledge of the Son of God, and to a perfect man, and to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men, and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. Some have been deceived. Some are carried about with every wind of doctrine. The wind blows and they're off this way. The wind blows another way and they're off that way. And some people are like that doctrinally. While they follow this and then they hear some other teaching and they're off over on that. And not staying grounded in the truth of Jesus Christ. No, he says, you stand fast in the faith of the gospel. The wise man said, by the truth. And sell it not. Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 58, Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable. Don't get away from it. Always abound in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. And so we need to stand fast in God's work, in the faith of the gospel, and not be moved away. Some have been moved away, unfortunately. They've been carried about with winds of doctrine. They've been caught up in the waves of the world. No, stand fast, Paul exhorts us. And then he gives another exhortation in this text. He says, quit ye like men. Now, we don't use that phrase, but it simply means to act manly. That is, to make a man of or make brave. Quit ye like men carries the significance of act like an adult. Grow up and be a man, we sometimes say. In 1 Kings chapter 2, David was old and he gave this charge to his son Solomon. Now the days of David drew nigh that he should die, and he charged Solomon his son, saying, I go the way of all the earth. Be thou strong therefore, and show thyself a man. We need to show ourselves as adults to be a man. When it comes to responsibilities, we need to grow up and be a man. You know, sometimes kids, they forget things, they get busy playing games, and they forget sometimes responsibilities and have to be reminded. You know, not to be for us as adults. We need to be like men. We need to grow up and fulfill and take a hold of our responsibilities. And to take hold of the responsibilities and the things that we're to do, to face up to it. Not like Jonah. He tried to run from his responsibilities when God told him to go and preach the Ninevites. He thought he'd run away. Like somehow that's going to solve the problem. You can't run from responsibility. We just need to be a man. Be an adult. Be brave about it and stand up and meet our responsibilities. Quit you like men in our understanding. Paul said in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse 20, he says, brethren, be not children in understanding. Howbeit in malice be ye children, but in understanding be men. Sometimes, little children, there are a lot of things they don't understand. You're not going to explain to them. It's beyond their comprehension. And Paul says, now, when it comes to children now, we need to be like them. When it comes to malice, that is, not heart full of ill will. But don't be like children when it comes to understanding. It's like trying to explain how a wheel works to maybe Jacob back here. He's not going to get it. He'll probably get it because his dad's a pretty good mechanic, but he probably won't get it now. He's just a kid. I said, gentlemen, we don't need to be kids when it comes to understanding. We need to be men. We need to grow up and to learn and to come to comprehension. And when it comes to dealing with problems in life, and problems come, and we all face problems, we need to be men. We need to be adults. We need to be like a grown-up and face it head-on, whether it be in the church, whether it be wherever it might be. We need to deal with problems, not try to stick our head in the sand. Sometimes kids do that. The problem comes up, just run away from it. Just ignore it. Maybe that'll take care of it. No, that's not the way to handle it. We need to quit you like men, behave like a man, like an adult, and deal with problems when they come. And in handling marriage, we need to be like men. Marriage is not for kids.
It's for adults, people who are going to take responsibility and act adult. Sometimes you have couples, they get married, and they come with bratty attitudes, and they like big kids, but they're not going to take responsibility, and problems come, and off they go running back to mom and dad. No, quit you like men. Behave like men. Get back to your spouse and get the problem settled. And deal with it. Be an adult about it. Don't be a kid and think you're going to run away from it and somehow hide from it and that's going to take care of it. No. The exhortation is, quit ye like men. Behave like men. Be an adult. He exhorts us. And then we have another exhortation.
He tells us to be strong. It is defined to empower. That is, passively, to increase in vigor. He says be strengthened. To be strong or to wax strong. That is the significance of the phrase there. We need to be strong. We need to be empowered in the Lord and in His truth.
In Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 10, Paul says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord, what? And in the power of His might. There's strength in the Lord. There's strength in the power of God and the power of His truth. We need to be empowered in Him. To learn to lean on the Lord and His strengthening. Paul learned that in the book of 2 Corinthians, chapter 12 there, when he says in verses 7 and following, and lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee. For my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities and reproaches and necessities and persecution and distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. That seems contradictory. When I am weak, then I am strong. But the answer to what Paul is saying, when I'm weak, that's when I recognize I can't do it.
Paul learned to recognize there's one that could help him to do it. And when he didn't have the strength, he knew one who did have strength, and that is to learn to lean on the Lord, to be strong in the Lord, to be empowered of the Lord. In Philippians 4, verse 13, that great verse that probably most have memorized, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. And so when we are strong, it is to be strong in the Lord. Not to buckle under the pressures and to roll over and to play dead. No, but to stand up and be counted for. And to be strong in the Lord. To be strong in the power of His might. That's what we are exhorted to do.
And then Paul gives another exhortation here. He says, let all your things
be done with charity. Dear charity, brother, love, affection, goodwill, love, benevolence. Let all be done with love. All that we do needs to be with love. Paul talks about love. It's important. It's a necessity. It's place.
In the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 13 there, and in verse 2 he says, and though I have the gift of prophecy, and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith, so that I could remove mountains and have not charity. Now listen, he says, I am nothing.
We are a nobody. Everything that we do is just worthless. It's all in vain. It'll be to no avail if we do not have love in our hearts. That's got to be a motivating factor that moves us and guides us in direction.
Paul says in verse 13, and now abideth faith, hope, and charity, or love, these three, but the greatest of these is charity.
That's got to be the great motivating factor of God's people is love. It moves us. Not other things that move us, but love
has to be.
Let all your things be done with charity. When we give alms to help somebody who is in need, or if words needs to be spoken, or to minister to the saints, and we'll talk about that in 1 Corinthians chapter 16, then verse 15.
He says, I beseech you, brethren, you know the house of Stephanas, and that it is the first fruits of Achaia, that they have addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints.
You see, they were involved in serving the saints, and it was, no doubt, a labor of love. When it comes to being a good neighbor, to be that good Samaritan is a heart of love that moves us. Compassion and mercy for others. Let all your things be done with charity. As a worshiper of God, we're motivated by love. And even how we treat our enemies. Jesus says in Matthew chapter 5 there,
in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 44, but I say unto you, love your enemies. Bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. Love your enemy. Is that easy?
Nope.
It is not easy. It's not simple. But it is, of course, what God exhorts us to do. And so we have five exhortations that have been given here as we look at the text. Watch ye, stand fast in the faith, quit ye like men, be strong, let all your things be done in charity. Now let's notice that warning that he speaks about. He says, if any man love not the Lord Jesus Christ, let him be anathema maranatha. We've got to love the Lord Jesus Christ. He loves us. He gives us every reason to love him. He says, if any man love not the Lord Jesus Christ, he did not say, if any be not baptized. He didn't say, if any does not eat the Lord's Supper. He didn't say, if any doesn't wear the name of Christ. You see, ladies and gentlemen, we could be baptized, we could eat the Lord's Supper, and we could wear the name Christ, that is, Christian. We could do all these things and still not love the Lord. Now, if we love the Lord Jesus Christ, we'll be baptized. If we love the Lord Jesus Christ, we'll eat the Lord's Supper. And if we love the Lord Jesus Christ, we will wear the name of Christ, not somebody else's name. But he didn't say that, if any be not baptized. No, he said, if any man love not the Lord Jesus Christ, we've got to love the Lord. Jesus says in John chapter 14 and verse 15, in John 14, verse 15, says, if you love me, keep my commandment. We've got to love the Lord. He gives us every reason. He loves us. John says in 1 John chapter 4, we love him. Why? Because he first loved us. We've got to love the Lord Jesus Christ. And he says, if any man love not the Lord Jesus Christ, what does he say? Anathema, maranatha. Now the word anathema means to be accursed. It means literally to be damned. We've got plenty of people in our society that use the word damn in their speech in a profane way, cursing people. But that's not our prerogative, is to curse. That's God's business to curse. God's the one that's going to do that, to bring evil punishment upon others. In Galatians chapter 1, verses 8 and 9, it says, but though we are an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that which you have received, let him be accursed, let him be anathema, let him be damned. That is, to be accursed is to receive the evil pronouncement for God, depart from me, you cursed and everlasting fire. Now, the warning is, if we don't love the Lord Jesus Christ, we will be accursed. And then the word maranatha, it means when the Lord comes. Because that's when the cursing will take place. Because when the Lord Jesus Christ returns, all will be raised from the dead. And all will be translated. We will be gathered before the judgment seat of Christ. There we will give answer. And to those who know not the Lord Jesus Christ, we will receive the divine judgment. And he will say, depart from me. And that's when we will be cursed. That's when the anathema of God will fall upon us if we serve not the Lord Jesus Christ. The warning is, if we love not the Lord Jesus Christ, let it be anathema, maranatha. Let it be accursed when the Lord comes. We've got to love the Lord. He gives us every reason to love the Lord. Every single reason. He gives us no reason not to obey him. He gives us no reason not to serve him. You know, if you could say, well, you know, Jesus, he did this, and that's the reason I don't serve him. What could we say? There's nothing we could say. There's nothing we could come up with to put our finger on and say, right there. That is the reason why I don't serve the Lord Jesus Christ. There is absolutely no reason why we cannot love the Lord and serve him. We've got every reason to love him and to serve him. And if we love not the Lord Jesus Christ, we will be cursed, we will be damned, we will be consigned to the lake of fire, which is what the Bible calls hell. We will be cast into that lake of fire, and there we will be punished throughout eternity for our wrongdoing.
And that takes place when the Lord Jesus Christ returns. And so that's the warning.
We've got to love the Lord. And so the question is, as we extend the invitation, do you love the Lord Jesus Christ? If you love Him, you're going to keep His commandments. If you're not keeping His commandments, it's saying that you don't love the Lord. And if you don't love the Lord, you're going to be cursed. You're going to be cursed, and you're going to die in your sins. But you can do something about it. Even today, you can hear the good news that Jesus Christ died for your sins. And upon hearing that message, you say, I believe it. Yep, that's it. Jesus, He is the Son of God. I thoroughly, completely believe that in my heart. And He commands me to repent and turn to Him. And that's exactly what I'm going to do. I'm going to make a turnaround. Yeah, it's only that makes sense in life, is to serve the Lord. Get your life turned around. And then He says to confess Him before men. Matthew 10, verse 32. Whoever will confess me before men, him will I confess before my Father. And then we've got to be baptized, immersed in water. Baptized into the Lord Jesus Christ. Galatians 3, 26 and 27. For by faith, for you all children of God by faith in Christ Jesus, for as many as you have been baptized into Christ, and put on Christ. That's how we get into Christ. We've got to be baptized into Him. And if we do this, because we love the Lord, we can become a child of God even today. We're to come up out of that water grave to grow and be faithful. He that endureth to the end, the same shall be saved. Just keep serving the Lord. And then if we err, we not what we ought to be, our love begins to wane, and we're not standing fast, we're not behaving like an adult and serving God, we need to come back to the repentance and prayer of the second law of pardon. We're going to sing this song to your encouragement. If there's one here that needs to obey the gospel, and we can help or assist you to that end, and it's your desire that you want to make the commitment to start serving the Lord Jesus Christ today, if we can help you in any way, come and let us know while together as we stand and as we sing.